2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three! Cougars by 20!
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts,
Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On your legacy home of BYU Sports.
KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Gotta say, the conference realignment gods are good to us. July 24th, the dog days of summer. Happy Pioneer Day to all of you out there. But man, usually this time of the year, there is nothing much to talk about. And conference realignment, it is giving us some great conversation today. The text line's blowing up. We'll get to some of your texts momentarily. I know we've been promising it, but we will get to your texts and your comments on conference realignment. But right now, we got to get to the top five.
Cougar Sports Saturday Top 5. Mitch and Matt clash in a weekly battle of BYU sports knowledge. The Cougar Sports Saturday Top 5.
Yeah, the Top 5 always brought to you by Economic Partners, Utah's premier business valuation and strategic consulting firm. If you need a business evaluation, contact econpartners.com today. They're ran by diehard Cougar fans, BYU MBAs. They're the best. Contact econpartners.com if you need a business evaluation. It's Economic Partners. Let's bring in the maestro of the top five. He's our producer, Dallin Graff. Dallin, how are you on this Pioneer Day?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. It's a great day to be here, you know.
Are you a guy that lights fireworks on Pioneer Day?
I'm not a big firework person in general.
I can't stand that, by the way, especially being a new dad. Like, there's nothing that disturbs you more at 10 p.m. than fireworks in your neighborhood.
Yeah, like last night, I had to remind myself. I was like, oh, yeah, it is technically Pioneer Day today, too, like last night on the 23rd because the parade happened and everything.
Yeah, but I thought it was my neighborhood last night, and I was like, oh, no, just Pioneer Day fireworks.
I was like, it's 3 weeks since July 4th. Is fireworks still going? And then I was like, oh, yeah, it's Pioneer Day. Anyway, yes. Dallin, what do we got on deck this week for the top five?
All right. Well, over the last couple of weeks, we've been sort of rolling through the KSL Sports top 10 players in BYU's roster ahead of the season. And last week's entry was Jake Oldroyd.
Love it.
Kicker for BYU. And I did not have him in my top 10. And I'm not going to lie, after the segment last week, I think you guys convinced me that I probably made a mistake.
Yeah.
Old Oroy has been excellent. He's one of the best players. And so started digging through his career up until this point and where he stands. So today we're talking about kickers. It's the Matt Biamonte special here. We are talking about the most career field goals made in BYU history. Right now, Jake Oldroyd is sixth all-time in BYU, so next season he will likely be in this top five. So let's take a look now what the top five looks like. You just got to give me the player, and we'll go from there. So a lot of pressure on Matt as the special teams expert here.
Put it on, baby. Let's go.
But we do start with Mitch this week. Matt coming off the win in last week's top five. So, Mitch, where do you want to start?
I'll go with a man that's got my same name, Mitch Payne.
It's a great guess, Mitch. Mitch Payne, yes. He is third all-time in career field goals made at BYU, 47 for Mitch Payne. Played from, what, 06 to 2010. Was pretty consistent, at least 10 field goals made all 4 years that he was a full-time starter. His best, most prolific season, 2010, 17 for 21. Not bad.
Yeah, good player for BYU. Kind of gets forgotten, I think, at times, but... you look at all these all-time lists, he's near the top.
No doubt. All right, Matt, to you.
I'm going to go with a guy who I would have never guessed, except for I was looking at the kicker list last week, and it jumped out to me. He is Ethan Pochman.
No Ethan Pochman on the top five field goals made.
That hurts.
I hate to do this to him, but I'm going to have to. I'm going to do a steal here. And we go with his Ethan's younger brother, Owen Pochman.
That's a tough one. You hate to see it, but Owen Pochman, number one all-time BYU, 66 career field goals made for Owen Pochman.
Yes.
I mean, just an incredible time at BYU. Finalist for the Lou Groza Award as a junior and a senior. Obviously, he went on to play in the NFL. But you look at some of the seasons, 17, 18, 19 field goals made, 98 through 2000. I mean, he was prolific. He hit it at a high percentage and was a reliable weapon for BYU and special teams.
Yeah, his older brother, Ethan, played that 1 year in 96. Mm-hmm. That was it.
And he had a phenomenal year.
Yes,
right? Number one.
Credit. Yeah, second all-time in most field goals made in a single season, 20 field goals that season for Ethan.
And he has the most points scored in a single season, but not enough.
But not enough for on the career list.
And
but,
I think Owen Pochman holds the distinct distinction of being the only man that, I don't know if I can say this on the air.
I know where you're going with this.
we'll probably table that. He had some beautiful
high profile relationships.
High profile relationship. Thank you, Matt. Thank you.
That's a great way of putting that. All right, Matt. We go back to you. Down 2-0 in the special teams top five. What's going on? Where are we gonna go?
I'm gonna go with another brother here. I think he might be on this list. I'm gonna squeeze in Matt Payne. Okay.
I love this.
There we
Mitch
go.
Gets Mitch Payne.
Yes.
Matt gets Matt Payne. Yes.
We might need to do some NIL deal for some former BYU players. The Mitch and Matt show.
I love
with the
it.
Paynes and Biamonte and Harper.
Where does he come in?
Yeah, Matt Payne, excuse me, second all time. Yeah. 54 career field goals made for Matt Payne. And much like his brother, very consistent. Over his career, at least 12 or 13 field goals made all 4 years as a starter, and a high percentage as well. So, you know, both those brothers very successful at BYU.
And weirdly enough, both when I think about the Paynes, I think about a couple things. Especially Matt was a outstanding tackler when he punted the ball.
Yes,
I'll never forget that. But the other thing, they were so good, but yet why do I remember Payne? Painful misses in big games. Matt Payne at Boise State. That one stings.
New Mexico in 04, the 10 a.m. game. If BYU makes that, they're going into the Utah game with a chance to win the conference title.
Mitch Payne, I think it was the last year of independence. The Utah game. Now, that wasn't his fault, but it gets blocked.
In 2010?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I do remember that. But yes, Matt Payne, though, wrecks some fools up on the blue turf. Chris Carr is steel reeling from getting wrecked by Matt Payne twice on the blue turf.
Phenomenal.
In 04.
Yeah, you know, that is it's the tough job of a kicker. Most people don't remember the field goals you hit right down the middle unless they're a game winner, but they will remember those tough misses. So we are at 2-1, and we go back to Mitch. Chance to win it here. What's your next guess?
I think I've got the win. I'm going to go with
He's wavering.
Jared McLaughlin.
Jared McPoll. Not on the list. He comes in at number 7, 28 field goals made in his career. Okay. The door is open for Matt.
I don't feel good about this, but he played long enough. He might have snuck in. Justin Sorensen. Oh!
Wow.
We got a game, Mitch!
Wow.
It's getting tight. Justin Sorensen, fourth all-time. 43 career field goals made. And that, his biggest season, 2013, he had 18 field goals that year. 18 for 22. Really well done. Had just a couple big seasons, 2013, 2011. Struggled in 2012, but overall, a solid career for Justin Sorensen.
I thought he was going to be the best kicker in the world when he signed out of being
yep. up.
And then the mission got him, man. The riding the unicycle. Was it a spider bite was a part of that, too?
He had a spider bite. He also had a weight room injury, I think I want to say. Yeah, it was like...
Powerful leg, though.
I've never seen a kicker recruit more hyped than Justin Sorensen.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I remember that 2008 game against Northern Iowa, the home opener. I think the most intriguing storyline was like, ooh, BYU's going to actually get some touchbacks this week. Because... They finally got a kicker. Like, they knew they were going to win. Like, BYU was undefeated at home 2 years in a row. They're going to smoke Northern Iowa. They got the chance, though, to get some touchbacks this year because Sorensen's going to boot it. He was hitting, like, 70-yarders at Bingham. He was an All-American. He was amazing.
Yeah.
BYU, he was okay. I'm stunned he's in the top five, though. That's impressive.
Yeah, and there is one name left. Mm. So we go back to Mitch here.
Okay.
Are we going to get this last name? We'll find out.
He's already hinted.
Let's go with, we've talked a little bit about politics, oddly enough, here on the show today. I see this man once in a while on cable news, Jason Chaffetz.
Mm. Ah. Love the guess. No Jason Chaffetz.
He won that game winner, what was it, against Colorado in the All-American Bowl? Anyway. This is when Colorado was really good. It wasn't the bad Colorado that they are today. That was when Eric Bieniemy and, anyway, go on.
All right, Matt.
This is hard because Justin Sorensen is number four. I feel like it could be anybody at number five.
I know.
I'm going to take a stab at a man who had a coveted beard card.
Ooh.
Trevor Sampson.
That was a good pull. That was a good pull. The beard card, Trevor Sampson. How about let's go with, again, we're doing top five field goal makes, right?
Mm-hmm.
In
career
BYU
field goal makes, yep.
Football history here in the top five on Cougar Sports Saturday. Let's go with,
I'm running out of names.
I'm trying to think. How about, he played for 3 or 4 years, Rhett Almond? I didn't feel good about that.
No, Rhett Almond.
I like Rhett. Great guy, yes, yes. But it was always kind of like, what's the distance this week? Does he got the leg? Like it was... I don't miss that storyline.
Oh,
the
my.
Last name, I'm going to give you a little hint here. You got to think back a little bit. All
I'm
right,
dead. I'm dead.
So we're talking like maybe pre-90s. You
okay.
know, we're talking about that. So not, you know, I'm not talking 60s here, but
so
you know.
So Chaffetz was a good guess.
Yeah,
then. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. That's fine. That's fine.
I'm dead. So I'm going to throw out this guy that I wanted to be so good that I know is not in the top five. It just never worked out. Andrew Mickelson.
He was the Oregon State guy. He was the guy that could boot him off kickoffs.
Yes.
He was like, BYU had like seven kickers, I swear, at one season. Anyway, they had Lavelle's grandson. They had Mickelson. Let's see. I should know this. I'm trying to think of, okay, so it was like the 1980 Miracle Bowl. They had, I'm drawing a blank. The guy that had to hit the extra point to win it. Gunther. Kurt Gunther.
Okay. Oh, good guess, though. He is eighth. 27 field goals.
Yes.
For Kurt Gunther. You're in the right range.
I don't got it. I'm blanking on the 80s kickers. I'm blanking.
Matt's opening the door for you, Mitch.
Alan Boardman? No, he was a punter. That
Lee Johnson, punter.
Lee Johnson is 10th, by the way.
What?
24,
are you kidding
24
me?
Career field goals. So there
That's
you go.
That's right. He did. I forgot that. Okay. How about, I'm trying to think here. I'm thinking of all the kickers in 84 and like 85. I'm thinking 84 because that offense, they had to settle for some field goals that year. They weren't just the prolific 83 offense. I am drawing a blank on the kicker. This is going to kill me. Give me the buzzer. I can't think of it. I don't want to keep dragging this out.
This is a tough one. I'm not going to lie. I didn't know this guy existed before I did this research. So
Was it 83, 84?
Not that season. How about this? We're talking...
Give us another hint.
86, 87, those sort of seasons.
Okay, that makes sense because that's when a dip happened with the quarterback play after Bosco. Let's see. Gosh, I can't think. I'm so angry about this.
Yeah, tip of the cap to you.
That's a win for me and Dave. Look at that. Yes. Woo-hoo.
Who is it?
Leonard Chitty.
Nope. What an ever.
34 career field goals made. He was a kicker in 86 and 87. Had 18 field goals made in 87, 16, and 86. And that was it, just those two seasons. But was really good and hit a lot of field goals those two seasons. Puts him up at number five. But Jake Olderoy.
He's not going to last, unfortunately.
32 field goals made. So he's just too short of dipping into the top five. So, I mean, he could be top five. He could be top three at the end of this next season, Jake Olderoy.
He
is he's well on his way to putting his name on this list.
He will be because I believe that this guy will have a chance to make an NFL roster. Now, it's hard for kickers. He's probably going to go undrafted, but I think he has the leg. I think he's got the accuracy. I think that he can make an NFL team.
And it helps for Oldroyd that he's going into, his fourth season? He's only a sophomore, so he's got a lot more games and a lot more opportunities. It's like that 2016 Arizona game, he was a freshman, and 2021 against Arizona, he's a sophomore. That makes a ton of sense, doesn't it? Leonard Chitty, is that the name, right?
Yes, that is it.
I don't know why that's no thought is registered right now. I'm feeling terrible. Usually, like the history of BYU football, like you mentioned a name,
it's because
Mickelson, something comes up. Nothing's coming up.
I think it's because there's just that like 3 or 4 year window after Bosco and before Detmer that just kind of disappears.
Yeah, it's a good point. Other than like Jason Buck, Sean Knight, like there's not much to write home about in those late 80s years in a way for BYU football. Interesting. Good stuff, Dallin. Thank you for, stumping us and getting the win. Dave, I guess you can say we're the losers. You can cue up the music for both Matt and I. We're the losers.
I feel like I'm a winner. I was down 2-0 and got a tie.
This is a
total
loss for me.
You forced the draw. Yeah, you forced the draw. That's pretty well done.
So Matt's pulling the old Lavelle stunt here. The 1991 San Diego State. Like, I could have gone for the win, but I got the tie and won the conference championship.
Yeah.
All right, we got to take a break. On the other side, we'll get to our BYU football top 10 players for the 2021 season. Number 8 gets revealed. It's Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.